Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
A volunteer who worked at a hospital years ago tells the story of this experience. A little girl was suffering from a rare and serious disease, and her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies necessary to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother, then he asked the little boy if he'd be willing to give his blood to his sister. Well, the boy hesitated only for a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I'll do it if it'll save her." As the transfusion progressed, this little boy lay in the hospital bed next to his sister, and he smiled as he saw the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale, and his smile faded. And he looked up and with a trembling voice asked the doctor, "Will I start to die right away?" You see, being so young, the little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give his sister all of his blood in order to save her. We were all suffering from a not so rare, even more serious disease than the little girl in the story. A disease capable of not only killing the body, but the soul as well. A disease that would cause certain physical death and eternal separation from God. Like the little girl in the story, we had only one chance of recovery. But due to the seriousness of our condition, a simple blood transfusion would not be enough. This time the remedy would come only through death, the precious death and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. And who are we that he should die for us? Why would Almighty God, who reigns in glory beyond all imagination, who loves and has always loved his only begotten Son with an infinite love that we cannot begin to fathom, why would he not only turn his thoughts toward mankind, but give the life of his beloved for you and I, that we may live in everlasting glory with him? On this Passion Sunday, as we consider the freely given sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, ask yourself, who am I that God should die for me? Our journey through this season of Lent is meant to lead us to a greater understanding of who we are. This journey began on Ash Wednesday with the solemn reminder, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So from our first step on this Lenten path, we're reminded what frail, finite creatures we are. And when we reflect on the dust from which we came and the physical death that awaits us all, what we find is that we have no power within ourselves to help ourselves. In a sense, we're like this little girl laying in a hospital bed, trapped in a body that's unable to cure her illness. Lacking a remedy from within, she had to rely completely on the remedy that was outside of her, the remedy that came through the blood of her little brother. Like her, every attempt that we make to save ourselves, that comes from within ourselves, it ends only in death. For we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Our only hope is found in the remedy that is outside of us, the remedy that comes through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His one, full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world is the focus of our epistle this morning. This epistle is a letter written to the Hebrews, a group of Jewish people who were converts to the Christian faith. And so it's important for us, as we read this passage of Holy Scripture, to read it from a first century Jewish perspective. The author of this letter is writing to a people who are very familiar with the rites and sacrifices found in ancient Israel. The way this passage speaks of the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled on those who are unclean, that they may be sanctified and purified, that's all very confusing unless you have some knowledge of the Old Testament. For in our culture, the thought of using blood and ashes to ceremonially cleanse a person doesn't seem to make much sense. But in ancient Israel, blood purified the flesh. It cleansed and removed what the law declared unclean. So, in the tabernacle built by Moses, and later in the temple in Jerusalem, there was a room known as the Holy of Holies. Once every year on the Day of Atonement, Israel's high priest would enter into this most holy place to burn incense and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, the very dwelling place of God. Through this ritual that God commanded, the high priest offered sacrifice to atone for his own sins and the sins of the people. Year after year, the people would repent, and the high priest would offer the blood of goats and bulls and calves to atone for their sins. Through this Old Testament sacrificial system, those who worshiped God were cleansed and purified. They were declared ceremonially pure. So with this basic understanding in mind of how Israel's high priest would enter into this most holy place to offer sacrifice for the people, with this understanding in mind, we can make some of the same connections the Hebrews would have made as they read this passage. The author writes, Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. As we consider what these verses from our epistle are meant to communicate, hold on to that mental picture of Israel's high priest entering into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice. Remember that God's temple here on this earth, it was a type of a heavenly reality. It was a shadow of God's presence in heaven. So these verses from our epistle tell us, Christ has become our high priest. Picture the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity, the one who declared before Abraham was, I am. Picture him offering sacrifice on your behalf. As our high priest, Jesus entered into a greater and more perfect tabernacle, one not made with hands, one not of this world. He entered into a heavenly holy of holies to the end that he may offer a blood sacrifice to atone for the sins of the whole world through the Holy Spirit by way of the cross. The Son of God entered into the very dwelling place of the Father. He approached Almighty God, but he did not approach him with the blood of goats and calves. He came by his own blood into the Holy of Holies and obtained our eternal redemption. This is the comfortable, everlasting truth proclaimed by the Word of God. And as unimaginable as it is to think that the body and the blood of the Son of God was given for our salvation, it is that fact that breaks our stony, rebellious heart and leads us to love Him and serve Him in holiness and righteousness all our days. I mean, just imagine for a moment how a little girl who was beginning to recover from a deadly disease would react to hearing the news that her little brother had saved her life. Imagine for a moment how she'd respond to him when she learned that he intended to give her all of his blood in order to save her. Now stop imagining and consider the truth of what God has done for you. In a very real sense, we were laying in a hospital bed, just waiting to die, until Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And the good news is that His perfect sacrifice not only earned our eternal redemption, His sacrifice sets us free today. As we heard in our epistle, the blood of Christ has purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The abundant life that Jesus promises, it begins today with a conscience free from fear, guilt, regret, or sorrow over past sin. The abundant life that Jesus promises begins today when we use the freedom that God has given us to respond to what our Lord has done for us, to respond to the love that the Father has lavished upon us by living in union and communion with Him, by loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and by loving our neighbors just as we love ourselves. The abundant life that Jesus promises, it begins here and now, as we gather at the altar, in the very presence of God. Our Lord is here today to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. It is here at His altar where He speaks to the Father through the Spirit and says, "Yes, I'll do it if it'll save them." And so He offers His body and His blood to the end that our finite and frail, diseased and dying bodies may be made clean by His body and our souls washed through His most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in Him and He in us. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.